Welcome once again to Radio Islam on Major 1548. Time now for our Q&A program with Mufti Afzal Hussein Elias. And inshallah, we'll be taking our questions in a few minutes' time. Our lines are open 8541548. Our email address for tonight is onair@radioislam.co.za. And our mobile number 0823565988. That number once again 0823565988. If anybody has any other questions to ask, you can phone in or SMS or email us. We have Mufti Saab online with us now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, jazakallah. Going on to the first question for tonight, we have a SMS question. You say, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Is there any motor vehicle insurance that is permissible for a Muslim? And if so, what are the conditions? And lastly, if Mufti Saab could please say his email address on air.
I have mentioned about insurance, and together with few other Muftis, we are of the opinion that short term insurance is permissible in our country, South Africa. So I do not know about the other countries that are listening. They could inquire from their ulama-ikram. And there are a lot of reasons why we are saying that. So short-term insurance policy permissible. And unfortunately, due to the circumstances, even the conventional system of insurance. Also, the email is very simple, muftie at mweb.co.za or muftie at alislam.co.za.
Jazakallah, Mufti Saab, for that answer. Going on to the next question, now we have another SMS question saying, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Standard Bank is offering hospital plan. Is this permissible or not?
That is not permissible. That hospital plan is not permissible.
Jazakallah, Mufti Saab, for that. Going on to the next question now. Is it sunnah to make miswak from the left to right or up to down?
It is the method that has been recorded in the books discussing the miswak. It is from up, down, down, up, not sideways. So the first of all, the method will be that the right portion of the right jaw, then obviously the right portion of the lower jaw, then the left portion of the upper jaw, then the left portion of the lower jaw, but not moving the miswak sideways, but up-down motion has been recorded. When you look at it carefully at the design of the teeth, then the sideways method will be like spraying whatever dirt and filth is upon one tooth onto the next. But up-down, you will be actually digging and putting the miswak into the crevices of the tooth and removing the dirt and filth.
Jazakallah, Mustafa, for that. Going on to the next question now. A person says, what does the hadith, black seed has a cure for every disease except death, mean?
Meaning the potentiality of shifa, that the black seed, the qualities which Allah Jalla Majdahu has put inside the black seed are so vast and numerous that if utilized with the full yaqeen that Allah is the one who gives cure, then inshallah the person will be cured. But except death, because death is inevitable, and death is such a thing that every person who has come, we have come to go. We are born to die. We and all the others, and every person that is born, male, female, anywhere in the world, cannot evade, avoid death. And Quran Karim talks about this, that even if we are in sealed, concealed, fortified fortresses of steel and iron, and death will still reach us. So death is inevitable. And it's a reality even the atheist cannot deny. So, but the kulinji or the black seed will make things easier for the person. However, concerning the black seed, proper medical scientific research should be done, how to use it, when to use it, why to use it. That area has not been sufficiently explored.
JazakAllah Mustafa for that. Going on to the next question now, we have a question saying, Assalamu alaikum dear Mufti Saab. If a person sits on a bed not using a backrest and performs his salah in this manner and falls off to sleep, does his wudu break or not?
If the person is on the bed, obviously he is incapacitated, that's why he is performing salah on the bed. That's number one. Secondly, there is no backrest. Thirdly, that when he has adopted a posture of salah, or in salah he falls asleep, that will not break his salah nor his wuzu. Provided, obviously, it is a posture of salah.
JazakAllah Mustafa. Going on to the next question now. We have a question saying, Assalamu alaikum Mufti Saab. Many great a'imma and imams have written in their books that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hadir nadir. What is your comments on this?
First of all, that the concept of hazir and nazir, any person who says that they subscribe to the belief that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hazir, nazir, we should ask them immediately that what do you mean by that? What do you mean by hazir, nazir? When they define what is hazir, nazir, then we can pursue the discussion academically. And to say that great a'imma and muhaddiseen have stated that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hazir, nazir, then the person who has sent the question, we have sent our email on the air, that person should email the relative references wherein he is making this claim that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hazir, nazir, and he's saying that the a'imma are saying that. And when we get the references, we can comment on them. However, the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat is that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unique, is the best creation on the surface of the earth. Allah is unique, and Allah is Allah. Allah is the creator, and the creator cannot be confused with the creation. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of creation, most noble, most righteous, most pious, and we from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat believe that even the sand that is touching his noble body is greater in status than the Kaaba and the Arsh. So, on one hand, we believe that. However, that if we say that he is everywhere, then we will deny by that belief Miraj, Hijrat, and Jihad, and all the major activities of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the Subhanallazi asra bi'abdi ilayla min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who took his servant from the haram to masjid al-aqsa, the furthest masjid. Now when these prepositions are used from to, meaning clearly that when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Mecca, he was not in Jerusalem. And from and to are used when a person is not everywhere. Otherwise, he could have just disappeared and appeared in Medina. So Miraj will go away, Hijrat will go away, many other things will be treated very lightly. And this is not the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is everywhere. That is a deviated belief.
JazakAllah Mustafa for these answers. Just to remind our listeners, lines are open, 854-1548. Our engineers are waiting for you. And our mobile number for tonight, 082-356-5988. Our email address, onair@radioislam.co.za. Going on to the next question now, a person wants to know, is it permissible to lift the hands and make dua during the pause in the Jummah khutbah? Between the two khutbahs?
Yes, as far as the Jummah khutbah is concerned, that Hanafi scholars regard it like two rakats salah. But it is not in reality two rakat salah. Generally, we make Zohar salat, which is four rakat. Jummah salah is two rakat. Now, the khutbah, we say, that is why it has to be in the Arabic language, that it is qaim maqam, like a substitute for the two rakat, which are falling short. Two faraz, two khutbah, making up for the two. Now, many people sit in attayyat position whilst the khutbah is on. That also is not proven. Many also we have noticed that whilst the khutbah is on and when the imam recites the kalimat, the words and sentences of shahada, they raise their index finger. That is also not proven. And to lift the hands in between the two khutbahs, that is also not proven. In fact, for the khatib to raise his hands high in khutbah and to make dua, that has been not looked as good. As you will see in Fatawa Rahimiya, old edition, volume 1, that one sahabi objected to Marwan doing that. Now, that when it is not proven, we should leave it out. However, dua is accepted in one sa'ah, in one moment in the whole day of Jummah. And many scholars are of the opinion that when the khatib sits down after reciting one khutbah and then he sits to pause and rest and then commences the next khutbah, in that pausing period, they say dua is accepted. So in your mind, without moving your lips, you should make a lot of dua, and dua, inshallah, will be accepted. Even when the khatib reads the ayat that commands us to recite the durood upon beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there too, no verbal, audible movement of lips should be taking place, but the durood should be recited in the mind, in the heart.
JazakAllah, Muftisab. Going on to the next question now, we have a question saying, Assalamu alaikum, Muftisab. Can one pay VAT and income tax with interest money?
Income tax, it is permissible. Non-returnable VAT. Meaning, there are two types of VAT. One VAT is, for example, it will go and it will come back to you. That you cannot utilize interest. And one VAT is that they charge, the government charges you the VAT and it goes and it does not come back to you. On that one, you can utilize interest money.
JazakAllah, Muftisab, for that. Going on to the next question now. Just to remind our listeners, our lines are open, 8541548. Mobile number for tonight, 0823565988. And our email address on air@radioislam.co.za. Is it true that when Zawal time is over on Fridays, we can make our Sunnah Salah? We don't have to wait for the Adhan to go.
Definitely. That once the Zawal time is over on Jummah, then you can make your Sunnah. And then you can go to the Masjid and the Adhan is called out. But unfortunately, due to lack of education, that's one. And secondly, because we follow a set pattern of life. And when we follow a set pattern of life, then it is very difficult for us to change. For example, that we will wait for the Adhan of Jummah to complete and to end. We'll sit in the Jamaat Khana, the Masjid, without moving. Whereas, you could have read the Sunnah before the Adhan, as long as it is past Zawal time, number one. Secondly, whilst the Adhan is on, you could have read the Sunnah Salah. But everybody stands and everybody sits and waits. Certain places, for example, that when the Adhan is on, they will not go into the toilet. Although the Sharia is saying that if you want to go to toilet Don't even make salah. Go to toilet, relieve yourself, be comfortable, then make your salah. For example, that the muazzin, we want the muazzin and we instruct him and we even give him a musalla of his own to be right behind the imam. Whereas the ikama can be called by the muazzin from any part of the masjid. What has been proven that the azan on Juma in front of the khatib, that's when the muazzin is supposed to be in front of the khatib. That has been proven adequately. But all the other ikamas, the muazzin can give it from any part of the masjid. Also, that after we complete our faraz salah, then everybody from the front self, from the front row, it is a standard rule, and we have educated ourselves, designed ourselves, and we're not prepared to move contrary to it. That we move back, creating congestion at times. We regard it sometimes as a defect that let us go forward from the front saf. And if someone goes forward, people look at him oddly. What this person has done? Why he is gone forward? Now, once the imam has given salam, and then alhamdulillah made the dua, then you are out of his jurisdiction. In fact, you are out of his jurisdiction once he makes the salam. Now you can go forward, backward, sideways, you can go home even. So to go forward then is permissible. So it is permissible to recite the sunnah salah as soon as the zawal passes. Ji.
JazakAllah Mufassar for that. We have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam. I'd like to know whether the English Quran can be read without wudu and while menstruating. And like to know what is the Islamic Sharia ruling regarding birthdays.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Ji Mufassar.
I got the first one. The second one I did not get right.
Ji, okay.
I'll answer the first one. Can you handle English Quran? If the English is more than the Arabic, then it will be permissible to handle the that Quran which has got more English than Arabic Quranic text without wuzu. However, a good Muslim, it will be better, desirable, laudable to hold that Quran even with wuzu. Because when you hold Quran with wuzu, when it has got translation or commentary which is more than the Arabic, then there will definitely be barakah, blessing, boons, favors. Because this is the kitab of Allah. The more respect, love, honor we give it, then inshallah, the effect will fall upon the heart in proportion. Gee, the second one was?
Second question was, what is the Shari'i ruling regarding birthdays?
Birthdays?
Gee, birthday parties.
Okay. Now, according to us, it is very clear that Islam is a complete deen, perfect deen, easy deen. And Islam has been designed for everybody, the wealthy, the poor, the man in the east, west, north, south. And Islam has given us such a deen that we have to please Allah, and the Sharia has defined everything for us. So if birthday parties and celebrations was part of deen, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should have done it. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hum ajma'in should have done it. But we find that they have not done it. And in fact, we have got records that when their days of birth came, that they should look at their garments and weep and cry and wail that so much sins we have caused so far and committed so far, and what lies ahead. And we have got records that when their dates of birth came, that they should be crying that we have done very little to please Allah Jalla Majdahu. That's one point. Secondly, when our children come up and grow up having birthday parties from age 1, 2, 3, etc., an imitation of the enemies of Islam, then we tend to become lavish, extravagant, photography, video, intermingling of sexes, music, dancing, invitations, cutting of noses if you don't attend, cutting of noses if you don't invite, and going into debt. All this is completely un-Islamic, haram, prohibited. This brings no mercy onto those who are celebrating such an un-Islamic function. It does not draw one closer to Islam. It does not bring one anywhere near the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are unique, and we have got a unique civilization, culture, philosophy, ideology, set of beliefs, and set of practices. So we should not hanker and think that the others are enjoying themselves. We should please Allah. In that lies our salvation and enjoyment.
JazakAllah, Muftisab, for that. Greetings to the next question now. We have a question in Assalamu alaikum, Muftisab. In the light of the Sharia, is there any proof for a salah called Shabina, Salat Shabina, in Ramadan after Taraweeh until Sihri?
We have written about the Salat Shabina in one of our books. It's called Kitab al-Sawm. And in Kitab al-Sawm, the masala is discussed, the rule and regulation is discussed, whether the Quran can be completed in one session and one night. Pattern of the Sahaba was that they should do it in three days. Why in 3 days a person can recite, attending to the rules of Tajweed and keeping the laws of Tajweed, pronunciation, Sifat, Maharij, etc., and then reciting Quran al-Kareem, and then pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also states about those who read Quran al-Kareem in less than 3 days, do it without understanding. Now the question arises that to have such a session of Quran recitation, however, one golden rule we must understand. According to Hanafi scholars, that to make Nafil Salat with Jama'ah, I repeat, Nafil Salat with Jama'ah, intentionally or unintentionally, meaning that if you call people for the Nafil Salat, or people start joining up for the Nafil Salat, it is makruh tahrimi to do so. On the other hand, we have got that if a person wants to complete the Quran with proper tajweed, without rushing and maintaining a good pace, without changing the meaning, and you can hear the recitation, he's not mixing ya'lamun, ta'lamun, and you can hear clearly the words, and there is no such recitation which renders the Quran meaning to change, then it will be permissible. The room for permissibility is there. So there are many conditions to validate, to make valid the Sabina. But unfortunately these days, those conditions are not in most cases adhered to. And we should try as far as possible to abstain from that, especially when there is invitation extended and there is the da'i calling for that, that turns that whole activity to an innovation. When Shariat has not called for such an activity, and when we call for such an activity, it turns out a tantamount to becoming an innovation, so we should try to avoid it.
JazakAllah, Muftisab, for that. Going on to the next question, just to remind listeners, our lines are open, 8541548. Our mobile number for tonight is 0823565988, and our email address onair@radioislam.co.za. Going on to the next question now, we have a question, a very interesting question, Muftisab, saying, Assalamu alaikum, Muftisab. During hunting, before the trigger is fired, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar is read in one's mind, then fired at the buck. The bullet strikes the animal, then runs a distance and falls, and dies before slaughtering it. Is this animal halal or not?
according to Mo'inul Mufti, that if the bullet is sharp and it is equivalent to an arrow, then it is permissible. That whole proceeding is permissible. And we have tried to find out from those who sell arms and ammunition, and they draw numerous parallels between the bullet and the arrow, and they say that it is equivalent and it does the same job as the arrow. And they rest assured that it is close, the arrow and the bullet, thereby that this system will be permissible.
JazakAllah Muftisab for that. We have a brother who's phoned in now, Muftisab. He never wanted to come on air. His name is Brother Muhammad Farooq. And he wants to compliment Muftisab on all the hard work, because he knows that there are lots of critics, and he says that Muftisab must make sabr, and he thanks you over and over again. He said you must say it on air.
JazakAllah. I appreciate those words of encouragement. And also to all those who are listening, and including you, Hazrat Mawlana, that make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy at what we are doing. And also that in anything, when you do good, you must get ready for criticism. Doing evil, people do not bother. But if a person tries to do some good, then get ready for some backlash and for some criticism. And we request everybody to make dua for all of us.
Inshallah. JazakAllah Muftisab. We have an anonymous sister online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Can I ask my questions and listen off?
No problems.
Okay. A deceased left son and four daughters. How does she distribute her wealth? And then she made a wasiyat that the money for her coffin must come from her own money. But her son wants to pay for it. Will it be something wrong if her son pays for it?
Okay.
And then the kafara. What's the kafara for the salah? Like a 2 days rate.
Kafara for the salah. Okay. Jazakallah.
And how do you calculate it?
Okay. Jazakallah for this. Assalamu alaikum. Jim Muftisab.
The kafara for salat and fasting, once we carried out a lengthy, tedious experiment and calculation by Brother Ismail Varyava and myself, and we were discussing that how can we calculate, especially the fasting and the salat, because this is based upon wheat and barley prices. And we decided, though, we'll have to do it from the back years and calculate and bring it to the current value prices. Eventually, we came to one conclusion that if a person takes the current value prices, and he will be able to get a very good estimate. Now, every person does not know about barley equivalents and the wheat equivalent. The guiding light will be for us, the criteria will be Sadqatul Fitr. So the Sadqatul Fitr of the year passed by will be our yardstick. For example, if it was level red, so level ran for all the fast missed, per fast level ran. And for the salat, 6 salat per day. That means the 5 salat and the witr. So 66 ran per day. And level ran for fasting. Draw an estimate how many salat were missed, how many fast were missed, and that will become the kafara. As the other question is concerned, that it is better to take out the money from the deceased estate. If the son wants to pay, well and good, no problem, he may do so. He will be rewarded for that. Then the shares will be, for every 2 shares the son gets, 1 share the female, the daughter gets.
JazakAllah Muftisab for that. Going on to the next question now, we have a question from a person saying that, Muftisab, can anyone read any Arabic dua in ruku' and sajda after reading the tasbih?
In nafil salat, that in sajda, dua can be recited other than what has been prescribed, but the dua has to compromise of words from Quran and the ahadith. If it is Dua, with Arabic or any other language, then it's going to render the Salat not valid when it does not compromise words which are recorded in the Quran and the Hadith. So it will be safer to stick to the du'as recorded in the Quran and Hadith. About sijda, we have come across the law. And similarly will be ruku. But ruku is actually not the place for du'a. Generally, people do not make du'a in ruku. The people generally would like to go into sijda and make du'a. Here also, for example, sajda and shukr. The Hanafis say that this should be done at home, although permissible, that it should be done at home and not in public places, otherwise that will create confusion.
Jazakallah for that. Just to remind listeners, lines are open, 854-1548. Our mobile number is 082-356-5988 and our email address on air@radioislam.co.za. Going on to the next question now, is it permissible for a woman to cut her hair if her hair is damaged?
When they say damage, we do not know what they mean by this. Has there some ailment come onto the hair? And this word damage has to be explained before any ruling can be given. That damage has to be specified in detail before a ruling can be given on medical grounds.
Jazakallah, Mufti, for that. We're going on to the next question now. A person says a sister is asking if she buys a magazine that costs 100 rands. How much profit can she make of it if she sells it?
Say that question again.
A sister is asking if she buys a magazine that costs 100 rands.
Right.
How much profit can she make of this magazine if she sells it?
Oh, she can sell it at whatever price she wants to. Right. Obviously, that whatever... she's buying an article. First of all, by using this word magazine, that it has to be permissible in nature, first of all, whatever she is selling, number one. Secondly, that Islam does not give you a profit margin of such commodities. In an Islamic country, Muslim country, that basic commodities, essential necessary commodities, the government will regulate the markup profit prices so that to make it affordable for every individual living in that country. But luxury items, items of ease and comfort, and this what she is going to be selling now is a luxury comfortable item, there is no markup. However, obviously, as a person who is going to do business, it will have to be a reasonable markup. But what she wants to know, is there any amount she can charge? Yes, because the definition of a transaction will be when the buyer and the seller are happy on the sold item and they are happy on the price, the sold item itself, and they do this transaction in one sitting and in one session. And the proposal and acceptance of this contract is done in one session.
Jazakallah for that. Going on to the next question now. A sister says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. My husband passed away and I am now the only breadwinner. Since I am the only breadwinner, what are the conditions of my iddah?
If you are the sole only breadwinner, first of all, that you should appeal to your husband's side and then appeal to your side that if they cannot help you financially, at least during this iddat period, and best course of action will be that even after the iddat period, if they cannot support you monetarily, financially, we are clearly saying that Islam does not want the woman to go out and work and toil and sweat. Islam does not want that the woman must go and adopt the breadwinning role, as the other ideology is saying, in the spirit of gender equality, etc., that take out the woman and destroy her and make her sweat and toil. Islam is that deen that is giving comfort to the females. She should try to find alternative financial aid, even appeal to the organizations to aid her so that at least she can spend her iddat in at home without going out and breaking the laws of iddah. However, after that, she should also make every effort to get financial assistance so that she can stay within the confines of her house, protect her honor and chastity. If she is forced to leave the house when no aid and financial support is available, she should go dressed Islamically out.
JazakAllah for that. Anybody has any other questions? Our mobile number for tonight is 082-356-5988. Our lines are open, 854-1548. Going on to the next question now. Is there more thawab in using your money to go for Umrah or giving it in the building of a masjid or madrasa?
First of all, if a person has got money, then it is his or her prerogative where to spend that money, number one. Secondly, in Hayatul Sahaba, it comes clearly of one person who wanted to give charity. And he wanted to give his donkey away. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised that person that go and give it to your relative who is amongst the poor. He will benefit from it and you will get more reward. So the rationale behind the statement of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that first of all, you'll be giving charity. Secondly, you'll be aiding the poor. And thirdly, that you'll be giving it to your relative who deserves it more. And fourthly, because of your blood relationship, you will get more reward. So here, there is some difference in giving it to one place than another place. I am of the opinion that if you give it to the building of the masjid and madrasa, you will be more rewarded than going for Umrah.
JazakAllah Mustafa. Going on to the next question now. It is stated that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted gifts but not charity. Please explain the difference between gift and charity, and what is sadaqah?
In the second question, you answered the first question. Because the Anbiya do not take sadaqah, meaning that they would not take that charity which is supposed to be going to the poor. They do not take that charity. That charity which is designed and destined and determined to reach the poor, the Anbiya alayhi salam do not take. And this was one of those conditions when Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala who accepted Islam, then he had three things to look for. The three things was that first he came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam and told him, I brought some sadaqah for you. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not partake of it but distributed it amongst the poor sahaba. Next, Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala who brought gift told him, this is hadiyah. This is a gift. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he himself partook of it and gave to sahaba also. And thirdly, Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala who was looking for the seal of Nabuwat on the back of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when he displayed that, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the greatest psychologist. He told Salman, are you looking for the third sign and are you looking for the seal? Then he displayed the seal, upon which Hazrat Salman embraced Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam and also embraced Islam. Now, that which is destined for the poor, which we now term in jurisprudently wajib sadqa, then Anbiya alayhi salam do not partake of that. Yes, gifts, every person, rich or poor, can partake of it. In fact, poor people, rich people also, kafara, fidya, zakat, they cannot partake of that. Yes, you give them gift, they can utilize it.
Jazakallah Mustafa, that going on to the next question now. When a woman is reading her salah, must her hands be under her burqa when in qiyam or not?
Yes, it should be under her burqa. If it is over her burqa, it is permissible.
Jazakallah Mustafa, that going on to the next question now. A person says, nowadays we have showers and we are allowed to stand or to sit and shower. Nowadays we have showers. Are we allowed to stand and shower or must we sit and shower?
Also, I have seen in Hayatul Sahaba, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never stood and took a bath. Meaning that all the time he and Sahaba Ikram generally sat down and poured water over them. Now the best course of action will be to have something on whilst even showering. And that when you have got something on, you can stand or sit. It is permissible to stand or sit when you got nothing on also, because of our system of seclusion, which we are fortunate to have these days. Because of our bathroom systems, because of locks, because of the shower doors, and because of the privacy, because of the seclusion, because no human can see us, then it is permissible to stand or sit while showering with or without anything on.
Jazakallah Mustafa. Going on to the next question. Now we have a question here saying, Mufti Sahab, Assalamu Alaikum Mufti Sahab, what is the difference between Barelvi and Deobandi? And what is this? Can we just be normal Muslims?
Remember, the path of the right are the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. If you go to my website, then we have discussed the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, the path of salvation. And we have mentioned that those who hold fast to Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are those who are going to attain salvation, whether they come from Deoband or whether they come from Barelvi, whether they come from Saudi Arabia or Lucknow. Irrespective of where they come from, if they ascribe to the belief structure outlined by the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, then that is the path of salvation. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated in a lengthy hadith that the Bani Israel were divided into 72 groups. We, the Muslims, are going to be divided into 73. One group is the group that is on salvation. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala rahum ajma'in asked, which is that group? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma an alayhi wa ashabi. That group which is upon what I have brought and what Sahaba are upon. So Sahaba, companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a criterion of right and wrong, Islam and non-Islam, truth and falsehood. Now the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat are those who follow the Quran, the Sunnah, Ijma of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajmeen, and Qiyas, Shari analogical reasoning. So our criteria should be that, and everything should be substantiated from either of these four sources. Concerning what the questionnaire has said, that is a very lengthy discussion. And if a person emails me, then inshallah we can explain more in details. What we as Muslims should try to worry about is that Allah Jalla Majdahu is going to ask us about faraz, salat, all that which is faraz. And that which is important, faraz, wajib, sunnah, we should adhere to those things. Because those are the things that are going to get us nearness, proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
JazakAllah Mustafa. For that, going on to the next question now. Our lines are open, 8541548. Our mobile number 0823565988. We have a question saying, Assalamu alaikum Mufti Sahab, can a husband not permit his wife from leaving the house? And can he not allow people from not visiting them?
If the husband, first of all, in order to do that the husband obviously must have shari, valid grounds to do that. But he cannot just make a blanket rule that the wife cannot go anywhere, or the wife cannot go to the in-law's house, or the wife cannot go see her father and mother. Yes, definitely we find in the time of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in that the wife did not leave even to go see her father who was deteriorating without her husband's permission. However, Sahaba wa Sahaba, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, on the indication of his father, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that change your threshold, meaning the door frame, then he took this that he should divorce his wife. So it does not mean that every father can instruct every son to divorce every wife. The husband has to be of the quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the son the quality of Ismail alayhi salam, in order to effect such a ruling, which was displayed by Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. But in our age, where there is lack of piety and there is absolute no concern for righteousness, but false piety has become the order of the day, unfortunately. All these things we should worry about. And the husband should treat the wife extremely well and keep the wife happy all the time, not oppressing her and not allowing her to work, providing for her needs, necessities, financial requirements, keeping her happy so that they live in harmony and cooperation, and not to oppress her. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the best one is the one who is best to his wife. And he said, I am the one who is best to the wives. So, unfortunately, we should not at times utilize the Sharia and make quotations out of place and oppress the wives. The wives are the ones who are weaker from all sides and should be cared for from all angles.
JazakAllah Mufti Sahab for that. Taking our next question now. A sister asking, Assalamu alaikum Mufti Sahab, is it permissible to perform salah with a short top and pants, but a long burqa?
Obviously, the long burqa is going to cover everything, conceal everything, and then by the long burqa being present, then the salat will be valid. Whether accepted, that is a different story.
JazakAllah Mufti Sahab. Going on to the next question now. We have a question saying, Assalamu alaikum Mufti Sahab, when in an impure state or state of janaba, can you read kalimas or shahada, for example, du'as, before sleeping?
You recite it with the intention of reciting du'a. It is permissible.
For that. We have another question saying, Assalamu alaikum Mufti Sahab, last week there was a question regarding du'a after adhan. Al-Hisn al-Hussein states that you should read Durood first, thereafter the du'a after adhan. What is your comment on this?
We were commenting on the du'a after the adhan and the Durood that is recited, and by playing it repeatedly on the air, one will get the impression that this is faraz, wajib, and sunnah. Jurisprudently speaking, If a person replies the azan, and then he recites the durood, and then the dua, then it is permissible. It is permissible to do so. But to regard it as jurisprudently, sunnat, wajib, or faraz, that is erroneous. And then to repeatedly play it on the air, the public may get the impression that the dua after azan has to be preceded by the durood. We may just send out a wrong signal. Also, that some places that over the mic they call the azan, and prior to the azan they add few words, which is innovation. And then after the azan, before the dua, they read without break, without any gap, without fail, the durood aloud, blasting it over the mic, and then the dua. So the public may get an impression that this is part and parcel of wajib deen. What I am referring to in answering last week is that it is erroneous to think that this is sunnat jurisprudently, wajib or faraz. Yes, they are. There is a hadith which proves that you can read the durood after the azan and then the dua. However, if a person leaves out the durood and reads the dua, then he will be rewarded adequately also. And he will not be sinful if he leaves out the durood and reads the dua. If he was sinful, then the fuqaha should have classified it in some jurisprudic status. But the fuqaha have not classified it in any jurisprudic status.
Jazakumullah, Muftisab, for that. Bring us to the end of our program for today. But before we leave, Muftisab, some nasiha from your side.
Currently, alhamdulillah, we in South Africa are going under a wave of crimes and uncertainty. So we should make every effort to protect our iman, our property, and our dignity, and our intellect, and also our environment. We should make concerted effort and also dua regularly that Allah Jalla Majdahu protects our iman, our property, and all around us. Everything should be done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we get His mercy and earn His blessings.
Jazakumullah, Muftisab. That brings us to the end of our Q&A for today with Mufti Abzan Hussein Ilyas. And inshallah, we'll be back next week, inshallah, with Muftisab on the Q&A program.